Well, good morning, church. It is good to be with you this morning. I get the privilege of bringing the word today on Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of the moms and grandmas and women in our lives who love us and care for us and lead us. We love you and we are thankful for you today. So this morning, we are continuing our series called The Promise. This is a series on the Holy Spirit. And we see the Holy Spirit all throughout Scripture. We see the Holy Spirit present at creation. We see the Holy Spirit come on specific people for specific purposes all throughout the Old Testament. We see that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelled among the Israelites in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, which was a tent that they would move from place to place. And then they build the temple, and that is where the Holy Spirit resides. We could see that the Holy Spirit moved and did wonderful things, but seemed to be very inaccessible. No one could be in the presence of the Spirit without having been purified and having given offerings. But there was this promise that we can see of the Holy Spirit that was going to come in a new way. We see it in Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 to 27 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations." We see in John 14, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." John 15, "I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." Luke 11, 13, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So there is this promised Holy Spirit that is now going to live in the believer always. Last year, we were doing some renovations on our house. Our downstairs bedroom was an unfinished room. It was just concrete floor, no real walls. The previous owners had been using it as like a workshop type of room. And since we had our daughter, we realized we probably need a place to put guests when they come. So we started working on this room to get it ready to be a spare bedroom. We had some friends come and help with different things. And so the drywall was being done. And one day we went down to check on it. And we noticed that there was some moisture at the bottom of the drywall in one of the corners. It was pretty soggy, and so we began trying to find where this water could have come from, hoping and praying that somebody spilled something. But after searching, we came to the conclusion that there was most likely a leak in our foundation, which is brutal. So where the water was coming in was right on the back corner of our house. And right over the spot that we were going to have to dig was this big, beautiful lilac bush. I loved that lilac bush. And so we were realizing that digging out that bush that had been there for years and then digging down far enough into the ground to find this crack was going to be so, so difficult. All we had was a shovel, and it was going to take forever. And after some days of figuring out how we were going to tackle this, how we were going to get this bush out of the ground, we were realizing that we knew someone who had an excavator. And so we called up Dan Heinrich, and we said, "Dan, we know you have one." And so Dan came over, he brought his excavator, and that bush was out of the ground in no time. It was no match for the power of the excavator. But how many of us are going through life with just a shovel? We are digging and digging, and we're trying to muscle our way through what life is throwing at us. We're trying to be a good Christian and do the right things, all while still trying to be in control and do it all by ourselves. We feel overwhelmed, burdened, unqualified, unequipped, unable to do what is in front of us. We're trying to do things in our own strength. Can I remind us of something today? We have been given an excavator. We have been given the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Dare talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit, how he comforts us, guides us, and convicts us. This week, we are talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus appear to his disciples after having resurrected. And the disciples begin asking Jesus all of these questions about what was going to happen now. They knew that Jesus had talked about Israel being restored and the Lord reigning on earth, and they wanted to know if this was the time. Jesus' response was not what they were expecting. Instead of Jesus telling them when all of this was going to happen, he reminds them of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 6 to 8. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on them. This promised Holy Spirit that will now dwell in the believers will give them power. The word power in the Greek is dunamis, which means innate power, capability, miracle-working ability, and strength. Dunamis is the root of our English word dynamite, this raw power. And Jesus is saying that this power will be given to the disciples when they receive the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit is in us today. The power that was given to the disciples is given to us. This is the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and it is living in you. Now, this is the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. Scripture refers to the Holy Spirit as a helper. Jesus said that he was going to send a helper. The promise, the Holy Spirit, gives you power for what you cannot do on your own. So many of us feel unqualified to do the things that we see in Scripture. You know, we feel incapable of doing the things that we feel that God has called us to do. And this is why he sent the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is partner with the Holy Spirit, and we will receive power to do what God has called us to do. So this morning, I want to look at four areas in which the Holy Spirit gives you power. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives you power to share Christ boldly. Acts 1, 6 to 8 again. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promises to equip the disciples to be his witnesses. The basic meaning of the word witness is one who testifies. And the power for testifying comes from God, a power that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. So how are we to be witnesses? Acts 4, 19 to 20, we see Peter and John are standing before a council of religious leaders. They've been ordered to stop preaching the gospel to people. And here we see their response. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." We tell others about what we have seen and heard. We tell our stories. It's not about having the right answers or debating people or arguing or convincing people. We witness to what we have experienced, how Jesus has changed our lives, and the Holy Spirit does the rest. I think that a lot of us don't share our faith for fear, not of what people will think of us, but fear of that person not wanting to follow Jesus in that moment. I think there's this pressure that we feel where we think that we've failed if someone doesn't immediately give their life to Jesus. And I want to let you in on a secret. We do not save people. Jesus saves people. The Holy Spirit is working in people's lives, drawing them closer to Jesus, and we get to participate in what the Holy Spirit is doing by sharing what we have seen and heard. He doesn't say, "You will go save people." He doesn't say, "You will go convert people." He doesn't say, "You will go save people." He says, "You will be my witnesses, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest." So the Holy Spirit gives us this power to witness about what we have seen and heard. One commentary writer puts it this way: when they receive the fullness of the Spirit, the power they receive will inevitably transform them into witnesses. And bearing witness to Jesus will identify them as the people of God. The empowerment for witness is described as the Holy Spirit coming on them. The Holy Spirit will enter them in a fresh way, suggesting the continuing powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. So how or where do we start? We ask the Holy Spirit to give us power and the words to say, and we start at home. Acts 1:8 shares the way that the disciples were to start witnessing to people. They were to start in Jerusalem, which is where they were. They were home. Then go to Judea and Samaria, which was next door. Then to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth. We start small. This doesn't mean that we immediately become global workers preaching the gospel on another continent. Some of you may be called to that. But for the most part, we start here. We start with the people that we see every day. Maybe that's your family and you literally start inside your home. Maybe it's your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends. As you start to share your life and what God has done in it with others that are close to you, you will become empowered to witness more to people you don't know. We trust the Holy Spirit to guide us as we learn to be a witness for Jesus. And then we trust that the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives you power when you are weak. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10, this is Paul writing. "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We see that Paul has been dealing with what he refers to as a thorn in his flesh. Most theologians would conclude that this was some form of physical ailment, maybe an injury or some sort of sickness. And here he is telling the Corinthians about how much this has been affecting him and his ability to do what God has called him to do. He's telling these people his experience in learning that when he is weak, he has the Holy Spirit that shows up and gives him strength. He even goes on to say that it's better to be weak because it proves even further that these things are happening only through the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 years ago, almost exactly, it might have been Mother's Day, I'm not 100% sure, but I was set to preach. I had known this for a few months that I would be preaching on this day, but I hadn't necessarily planned that I was going to be extremely sick that day. I was almost 3 months pregnant, and nobody knew, and I was beyond morning sick. So sick. I was throwing up all day every day, and talking was what made it worse. I remember sitting down with Riley trying to figure out what we could possibly plan in case I couldn't do this. We needed to come up with a plan in case I suddenly needed to puke mid-sermon. We needed to come up with a plan for if I did just puke all over the stage. And I remember Riley saying, "It's okay, I will make sure I read over your sermon multiple times just in case I have to do it for you." Isn't that so kind? Go Riley. Go Riley. Ultimately, what happened was I spent the entire weekend praying. I just kept saying, "Jesus, you have called me to do this. I need the Holy Spirit. I need strength and energy and to not throw up all over the stage." And so I prepared to preach. I showed up Sunday morning. I preached two services, and I didn't even feel nauseous because the power of the Holy Spirit showed up and worked when I did not have the strength to do it. He gives us power when we are weak. We see all throughout the Bible stories of people who were weak, unable to do things, felt unqualified, ill-equipped, and then the power of the Holy Spirit shows up. And these crazy, impossible, miraculous things happen. In Exodus, we see Moses coming across the burning bush. The Lord begins to speak to Moses through this bush and tells him that he wants to use Moses to free the Israelites from Egypt. Moses' response is, "Who am I?" He comes up with all of these excuses as to why he cannot do what God is calling him to do. Exodus 4, 10 to 12 says, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, 'O Lord, I am not very good with words. I never have been, and I am not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled.' Then the Lord asked Moses, 'Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say.'" Moses' response to the Lord saying, "I will be with you. I will give you the words to say. I will give you the power to speak when you cannot," is, "Please send anyone else." We see later on in the story that the Lord provides a way for Moses to speak, and he sets the Israelites free using Moses. In Judges, we see Gideon become Israel's new judge. The Israelites have been handed over to the Midianites and are being driven into hiding as the Midianites wreak havoc on the Israelites, stealing their animals, destroying their crops. In chapter 6, verse 12 to 16, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.' 'Sir,' Gideon replied," "Sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, 'The Lord brought us up out of Egypt'? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." The Lord said to him, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Gideon had been chosen by God to free the Israelites. Gideon's response is, I can't do that. He says he's in the weakest clan within his tribe. And on top of that, he is the least in his entire family. He doesn't have the strength or the ability to defeat an army. And God's response, I will be with you. The power of God would be with him and give him the power to do what God was calling him to do. Despite how weak he was or how weak he felt, it was only by the power of the Holy Spirit that he was able to go out and defeat the Midianites and free Israel. We see Peter in the New Testament. He's one of Jesus' closest friends, one of his disciples. Peter is with Jesus during the time of his earthly ministry. And all of a sudden, we see fear take over Peter. After Jesus is arrested, Peter denies that he even knew Jesus 3 times. For fear of what might happen to him. Then we fast forward to the book of Acts, and we see Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, boldly proclaiming the gospel to the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish council, including the high priest, without fear of what might happen to him. This is the difference that the power of the Holy Spirit makes. When we do not know what to do, the power of the Holy Spirit gives us direction. When we don't have the strength to handle a situation, the Holy Spirit gives us strength. When we don't have the ability to keep going, the Holy Spirit sustains us. When we feel unqualified, unprepared, and powerless, the power of the Holy Spirit moves. Number 3, the Holy Spirit gives you power to have hope. Romans 8:1-2 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now it's no secret that this world can feel hopeless. We look around and we see brokenness and evil. We see people hurting. We see injustice at every turn. And it can be really easy to feel hopeless. For a lot of people, they do feel hopeless. But with Jesus, we know that there is hope. We know that this is not the end. When we look to Scripture, we see that Jesus' death and resurrection brings so much hope to this world. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we are in a place of feeling hopeless, whether it's because of our circumstances or just the state of our world, the Holy Spirit brings to mind the promises of God. The Holy Spirit brings peace and comfort like we talked about last week. Sometimes we need reminding of the hope that we have in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit does just that. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling hopeless. You're wondering what the point of all of this is. You're wondering why or how someone could possibly have peace and joy in the midst of a really, really hard situation. Can I tell you that the answer is Jesus? It is only Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that can give you hope in this hopeless world. And finally, number 4, the Holy Spirit gives you power to experience God fully. Ephesians 3:16-19, I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. The Holy Spirit reveals God to us in a way that was never achievable before Jesus' death and resurrection. In the Old Testament, we see the way that God's people were to interact with him. We see that they didn't really have access to him. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would dwell among the Israelites in the tabernacle, which was a tent, and no one could enter the tent into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then we see that they build the temple, and the only person who could enter was the high priest, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. It was so dangerous for someone to enter the presence of the Holy Spirit that the priest would tie a rope around the high priest as he entered into the Holy of Holies in case he dropped dead because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That way they could pull his body back out. The priests were the go-between for the people of Israel and God. The Israelites could not go directly to God. And then we get to the New Testament. Jesus comes and is born. He lives his 32 years on earth and does miracles and teaches. And then he's betrayed and crucified on a cross. The Bible tells us that as Jesus died, the giant curtain in the temple that kept the world separated from the Holy of Holies, the place where the Holy Spirit dwelled, tore in two. There was no longer a need for sacrifices, for priests to be the go-between, for the Spirit to be hidden away and not accessible. This curtain tearing in two meant that through Jesus' death, people now had access to the Holy Spirit whenever they wanted. Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit coming was an even greater step of having access to the Spirit of God. We talked about how the Spirit of God would dwell among the people in the tabernacle and in the temple. Well, Jesus was promising that the Holy Spirit would now dwell in his people. The Holy Spirit now takes up residence in the believer and reveals God to us in a new way. The Spirit of God is always present, always walking with us, guiding us, speaking to us. And now we get to experience the fullness of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives us power to share Christ boldly, power when we are weak, power to have hope, power to experience the fullness of God. If you're able to, would you stand with me? We are going to respond this morning with communion. So if you have not grabbed your communion cup there at the back door there, you can grab that quickly. But we take communion to remember what it is that Jesus did on the cross, to remember his death and resurrection. For it is only because of his death and resurrection that we are able to experience God fully. It is only by his death and resurrection that we have access to the Holy Spirit. Only by his death and resurrection that we can have hope in this world. We remember because without his sacrifice, without the laying down of his life for us, we have nothing to anchor our hope in. I want us to take a moment and reflect and thank Jesus in your own words. The Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Let's take the bread together. Took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink." Let's take the cup together. We thank you, Lord, for your death and resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, that we can have hope because of it. God, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that you give to us. Lord Jesus, we continue to walk with you as we continue to grow deeper in our faith with you. Holy Spirit, would you just come? Would you fill us with your power as we talk to people in our lives and as we go about our days, Lord Jesus? Would your power be working through us? Would we be able to witness well to what it is that you have done for us in our lives, Lord Jesus? And would it have an impact on the people that we share it with, Lord Jesus? God, when we are weak, would your Holy Spirit give us strength and power, Lord Jesus? Would it be a supernatural power that makes no sense? Lord Jesus, thank you that we have hope. God, if there is someone here today that needs a reminder of the hope they have in you, Holy Spirit, bring to mind your promises. Bring to mind what they know. Remind them that there is hope with Jesus. God, thank you that you made a way for us to have access to you fully. We thank you, Jesus. We cannot thank you enough. Holy Spirit,